the blast boats decelerated as expected, and both nose gunners began to pour blaster fire directly at Abeloff. She ignored the attacks until a bolt that should have blown off her right shoulder merely spun her around, tearing her gaze from the Galactic Justice Center and redirecting it toward her attackers. Abeloth's left arm came up so fast that Ben did not even see it move, and the fire from the blaster cannons began to ricochet back toward her attackers. Still hovering 7 meters above the deck, the two blast boats spun around sideways, dipping their flanks so the barrels of heavy laser cannons in their top turrets could depress far enough to open fire. At the same time, Ben knew, the doors on the far side of both craft would be sliding open to drop their space marines. Abeloth merely flicked her wrist. The rear blast boat tumbled into the leader's exhaust stream, and the plume of superheated ions melted through the nose armor. The force lurched with a sudden terror, then both craft vanished inside a cloud of detonating ordnance. Ben thought for an instant that would be the end of the Space Marines, but they were not so fortunate. Burning bodies began to drop out of the fireball, limbs flailing wildly and voices screaming as they cooked inside their armor. With their propulsion packs either disabled or blowing white flame over their backs, they had no way to slow their descent. A few lucky ones snapped their necks and died quickly. Everyone else broke arms or legs or spines, whatever hit first, then lay writhing in flames as pieces of blast boat crashed down on top of them. Their pain was pure and fiery in the force, a searing wave that hit Ben like a grenade blast. Abeloth remained standing in the wrecked entry. One set of tentacles splayed in front of her, using the force to shield her from the flame and shrapnel blowing in from the platform beyond. The arm beneath her injured shoulder hung limp at her side, but the tentacles at the end were slowly uncurling. They arranged themselves into a rough cone and began to twitch, and the anguish of the dying Marines vanished from the force. Abeloth was feeding on the dark side energy of their fear, Ben knew. He had seen her do it on Padir, when the entire population of the moon believed they were dying from an illusory plague. And now she was doing it on Coruscant, where the anxiety of the inhabitants had to be mounting by the hour as the battle raged ever more fiercely. With trillions of inhabitants on Coruscant, Abeloth's harvest would be limitless. Ben could not help wondering if this had been her plan all along, to set Jedi and Sith against each other, then feast on the fallout.
You Jedi are such small thinkers,
Ship said, interrupting his thoughts.
Abeloth wants so much more, Ben. Especially for you.
Yeah? Well, forget it, Ben said, recalling how Abeloth had taken possession of two of his father's old girlfriends. I'd rather die than let her use me to get close to Dad.
Who said that is her plan? Or that you have a choice?
I'm a person, not some tangled wad of biocircuits like you, Ben countered. I always have a choice.
Ship withdrew in a swirl of dark mockery, leaving Ben alone to contemplate his growing despair. Despite his brave words, he had no illusions about his chances of resisting Abeloth in his current circumstances. Every time he so much as thought about escaping, he heard a hiss in the ventilation duct, then awoke later with no real idea how long he had been unconscious. If she wanted to change bodies with him, or steal his, or whatever it was she did when she took possession of someone, there was little he could do to stop her. And that was the most terrifying aspect of his captivity. Abeloth had not hurt him, had barely even spoken to him. In fact, most of the time she seemed entirely oblivious to him. Yet he could always feel her presence, a cold tendril of fear that had taken root deep inside him, binding him to her in a way that chains could not. Abeloth wanted Ben for her own. She always had. He had first felt her touch as a 2-year-old child, when his parents had hidden him and the other Jedi younglings at shelter during the war with the Yuuzhan Vong. He had not been there an hour before the tendril had come. A cold, aching need that had frightened him so badly that he had closed himself off from the Force for years.